he says, I'm going to anoint one of your boys as king, and Jesse's excited about it, and he brings all the boys in except David. He leaves him out in the yard with the sheep, and Jesse comes in and goes, well, you got some nice boys here, but none of these are the ones that the Lord wants to be king. And he says, you have any more boys? And he goes, well, I got one, but you're not going to want him. It's David. He's the little one. He's out watching over the sheep, and they bring him in, and Samuel says, this is the one. And of course, so it starts out a little rocky, and then David fights Goliath, and then, well, now he's famous. And now everybody knows about him. And Saul the king, he certainly finds out about him, and he doesn't like it much. And so Saul doesn't like David. And the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart, and he's a man that loves the Lord, but his life is one of kind of ups and downs and turmoils. It's one of God's blessing, of course, but he's also called a man of war. It's constant war and constant fighting for God's people over the enemies. It's a life of betrayal. It's a life of family issues. One of his biggest betrayal in his life is by his own son, Absalom. And his own son kind of tries to gain the hearts of the people and take over the kingdom from his father. And it's betrayal, it's family issues, it's one of love, it's one of lust that gets David in trouble. But it is one of friendships. It is one of friendships. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to preach on friendships. And let's read in verse number, 1 Kings chapter 1. Let's read in verse number 5. Again, this is at the end here of his life, and another one of David's sons, Adonijah, is again trying to come up and take over as king, because David has not appointed specifically his successor yet, which son is going to take over. And so Adonijah just jumps in and says, well, it's going to be me. And in verse number 5, we see this play out. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and of Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah, Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Now at the end of his days, David has men that have been him with from the very beginning, and some of these men that have been with him from the very beginning, when this comes up and they see the handwriting on the wall and they see that David is going to die, I'll either drink it or put it down. They see that David is going to die, and they understand kind of the tide of power is shifting. Some of those that have been with David for a long time say, you know what, we're going to go with Adonijah and we're going to leave David and we're going to go with him because, well, we like power and we prefer, it's going to be better for us if we do these things, so we're going to go with the new regime that has risen up. And so these men, one of them being Joab, it says here in the passage in verse 7 that Joab is one of the ones that follows Adonijah and helps him. Joab was David's nephew. And Joab is a man of war. Joab is a mighty man. He's been the leader of the armies of David. He has been with David. But Joab has always been following David when things were going well and kind of looking for a way out, looking for a way to go against David when things weren't going well. Joab's kind of a snake. And here Joab finally says, all right, David is on his last legs here, and I'm going to go and be here with Adonijah. And so Joab is one of those. Abiathar is another one. Abiathar here is one that goes with Adonijah, and Abiathar is a priest. Abiathar has been with David again from the very beginning. He has been with David. He has been faithful to serve the Lord with David. And now at this time, Abiathar says, okay, I'm going to cut ties here, and I'm going with Adonijah, and I'm going to be with him. And so even some of these men that have been close to David are now leaving him in his final days. But nonetheless, David had some good friends. David had some good friends. And in verse number 8, we find out who these friends are. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and then it names a couple other and these mighty men that have been with David, are here. And these three are who I'm going to point out this morning. These are, I call this message, David's three friends. David's three friends. David has had friends before. David has had his probably closest friend recorded in the Bible was actually Saul, the king's son, Jonathan, if you remember that story. And they were knit together and they were close, but Jonathan has died. He's died alongside of his father in battle. No longer around. And while David was running from Saul because Saul in his jealousy understood that David was going to be the next king, but he tried to kill him many times by throwing a spear at him, and he tries to hunt him down in the wilderness. And as David is running from Saul, he has another friend called Hushai. He's his friend, and he's a counselor, and David actually sends him back to help counsel Saul, but to counsel Saul for his own benefit. He says, hey, man, find out what's going on, and if he's going to come after me, try to give him counsel so that he'll get off my back. I haven't done anything against Saul. I know God will protect me, but I need somebody that's in the palace that's on my side. And he's called a friend of David's. And now there's these three men that we see here at the end. The point of the message as we get into these three men is that everybody needs good friends. Even if you think you don't, you're probably one of the ones that needs good friends. Because when you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, it's nice to have somebody else there. It's nice to have friends. Now, I understand the term friend has been extremely watered down nowadays, right? A friend is not somebody that follows you on some random social media account. I'm not talking about that kind of person. I'm not talking about a friend. I'm not talking about an acquaintance. It's okay to have acquaintances. It's okay to have people that you know and you respect and you have a mutual agreement there. But I'm talking about friends. Acts chapter 27, the Bible talks about Paul. Paul went to his friends to be refreshed. And that's something that friends can do. They can be refreshing. Because friends are going to be those that are there when it's convenient and inconvenient. Friends are the people that have decided to be with you and to be a friend to you, and when maybe you always haven't been a great friend to them. But they said, I'm going to be your friend regardless. Proverbs chapter 17, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. At all times. And all the acquaintances and all the people that you know in your life, they're going to come and they're going to go and they're going to be there. But when it gets a certain way, well, I'm not going to be there anymore. Or when something else happens they disagree with, they're going to say, well, see you later. And who knows how that's going to end, right? But you know what a friend does? A friend says, I know who you are. I know what you're trying to accomplish, and I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be there with you. Proverbs chapter 18 says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm thankful for some good friends. And you know what I found as the years have gone by? I haven't gotten more independent. I've realized that I lean on my friends more. I find that the older I got, I don't have it all figured out. And that I don't need anybody anymore. But that I lean more on them and I go to them more as friends. Jesus called his disciples friends in John 15. Jesus Christ himself, who I and my Father are one. You say, well, Jesus could have done anything by himself. But he surrounded himself with some individuals. And at one of his darkest times, one of his most difficult times before his crucifixion, when he was in the garden and he went there to pray to God, you know what? He took his 12 disciples and he took his three closest disciples and he said, hey, will you come with me? The Bible says they were a stone's throw away. I don't know what kind of arm Jesus Christ had to throw a stone, all right? But it was a stone's throw away. I know this much. I can throw a stone. I can see it land. His friends were right over there, all right? Unless I'm in the woods, obviously, right? But it's right over there. I can see where they are. And he said, hey, you stay here. I'm going to go pray with the Lord, but you guys pray as well. Pray with me. Pray for me at this time. And look out for temptation. Be aware of it, but pray. He brought those close to him. God called Abraham his friend in the scriptures. You ever think about that? God had a friend, at least one. It was Abraham. As someone he could talk face to face. God had a friend in Abraham. And listen, talk's cheap. So the term friendship might not mean much. The term for you might say, oh, these people are my friends. But friend is not a term that you give, or it's a term that's received. A real friend is someone that proves themselves. I think in the Bible, there are some friendships that the Bible talks about, and they're not all good. And what's that mean? That means we have to pay attention to who our friends are. We have to pay attention with the friendships that we create in our lives. We have to make sure they're positive ones in what we're trying to accomplish in this life and who we're surrounding ourselves with. Haman, he's a man in the book of Esther. Haman was someone who was close to the king and had been exalted by the king. And he finds out when there is a Jew named Mordecai who won't bow down and give him all the reverence that he thinks he deserves, this Haman, he gets with his wife and he gets with his friends, the Bible says. And he tells them all about it. He cries and whines to his friends. There's this, I'm sitting there in the king's palace and he's talking to me and I'm one of his closest confidants. But there's this one guy and he just won't bow down and give me the praise that I have earned. He's just a crybaby. And he's a wicked man, really. And he gets with his friends and he gets with his wife and they all start to try to console him. And his friends say, you know what you should do? You have power. You should build a huge gallows and you should hang that guy on it. Well, that's not a good idea, right? He's going to hang Mordecai. That's what he says. You should build these big gallows and that guy Mordecai that won't worship you like yours, that give you the reverence you deserve, we build that and you should hang him on it. Just kill him. Not a good friend. Just, you see, some of you seem to not be on board here with this. Not a good friend. All right, Mordecai's friends, that's not good advice. And he's like, yeah, that sounds great. And he go that's not a good friend. Not a good friend. Job has some friends. Job has friends. He has the three that show up that we know are his friends, but he has other friends too. He says, my familiar friends have forgotten me. Why would happen? Because Job was rich. Bible talks in Proverbs, people that give gifts, lots of friends. If you give gifts, you'll get a lot of friends. And Job was wealthy and God had blessed him. And he had lots of friends and lots of influence. And he says now, why? Because Job lost everything, including his health. And he's sitting there with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he says, my familiar friends have forgotten me. And then the friends that showed up, they did really good at the beginning. But then they started talking and he says, miserable comforters are you all. Boy, my friends that I have, boy, what great comforters they are. They come down and they start judging them. And unfortunately, they judge wrongly. You've heard the saying, you can't pick your family and you shouldn't pick your nose, but you can pick your friends. You can pick your friends. At the end of David's life, he calls upon these three friends. He calls upon these three. He calls upon Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, who is a mighty man. Benaiah is a warrior. And he calls on these three. I want to mention before we kind of get into these three men as well that I'm not looking at these three men for their titles. All right, one's a priest and one's a prophet and one's a warrior. All right, David wasn't saying these guys are going to be my friends because of their positions or because of the titles that they hold. But the friends who you surround yourself with will be the type of person that you will become. Your friends do have an influence on you. And so you surround yourself with a group of friends. They are going to be an influence to you. And David, as a king and as a prophet and as a mighty man of war, he ended up being around those type of people. David was tough. He was those things. And so he found those men, and those men found him. And that's how it works with your friendships. That's how it works. That's why you can have some friends when you're younger, but then when you get some things figured out and make some decisions in your life as an adult, some of those same friends aren't around anymore because they make different decisions than you make. And so it happens. It's not always, you know, now we're enemies for life. It's just you end up being taking different paths and going in different places and making different decisions and doing different things. And you're not around the same people, but your friends will be those with the same goals and the same struggles as you. Amen. That's who ends up being your closest friends. You have things in common. And as Christians, your closest friends should be other Christians. Amen. Why? Because they should have the same goals as you. They should be striving for the same things that you are. They should be trying to serve the Lord and please the Lord and make decisions in life based on what the Lord desires for you and your life and the decisions that you're trying to make and the decisions that they're trying to make. The closest friends that I have in life now, they don't live anywhere around here. Why? Because they're where God wants them to be. And they're doing what God wants them to do. And they're following after God and making decisions. And even though we don't live close, I mean, we live in a day and age now where we can easily communicate. It's easy to communicate. But what is it? It's people. You say, I am trying to be this and accomplish this for the Lord. And you find those same people and those same people find you. It's easy to understand. Anyone that's ever been to a teen camp understands how it works. Yeah, people and, you know, your teen camps, all the kids, well, we know our friends. And then they get to teen camp and there's a whole bunch of other churches there with other young people and they're giving them this. Yeah. I don't know about you. You go to a different church. Got to see if you're okay. And that breaks down, of course, over a little bit of time. But you know what happens? All the kids that don't want to be there, they find each other. All the kids are like, I was made to be here. I don't want to be here. And they try to sit as far back as possible and then just sit there like this. And then other kids that are like that, they go, that's who I want to hang out with. But on the flip side, you know, now all the counselors are like, see that group? Keep an eye on them. They don't want to be here. They're looking to cause trouble. Right, that's the ones we got to keep our eye on. And then you have other kids, man, they want to serve the Lord and they want to do right and they're happy and they have some joy of the Lord in their lives. And you know what happens? They find each other. Yeah. Why? Because they're like, man, I want to serve the Lord. Hey, you're happy? Do you want to serve the Lord? Me too. Let's be friends. Why? Because you find each other based on what? Based on who you are and who you want to be and your attitude. And David finds these men. He finds these three men. Let's talk first about Zadok the priest. Zadok the priest. Turn to 2 Samuel 8. 2 Samuel 8. Second Samuel 8 and verse number 15. David is establishing his kingdom. He's establishing his kingdom. Things are coming into place here as David now is king. 2 Samuel 8 and verse number 15. And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the host. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were the priests. And Sarai was the scribe. All right, so we find Zadok here at the very beginning. Zadok is a part of David's group. He is one of the priests. He has two of these priests that were given here in authority, and he has one of them. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, you don't have to turn there. As things progress, David is running away from his son Absalom, which I mentioned, who tries to take over the kingdom. And he has the people's hearts. And so he's trying to take over David. And Zadok is there with David and with the Ark of the Covenant. And he asks Zadok to stay by the Ark of God and keep it in Jerusalem. The priest has said, well, we're going to go with the king and we're going to take the Ark of God and we're going to go with you, David. And David says, no, no, God wants the Ark and the temple to be in Jerusalem. He wants it to stay there. So you stay with the Ark and you stay there in Jerusalem. And Zadok kind of had to be thinking, yeah, but I'm your friend. And now I'm going to be in Jerusalem where your enemy is. And so this isn't good for me. That had to run through his mind. I'd rather be with David. David, I know you. We're good. We're close. And I'm with you. Everybody knows I'm with you. So I'd rather be with you than here with the enemy. But Zadok doesn't do that. Zadok stays. He knows his calling. He's called to be the priest. He's a priest of the Lord. And so he stays with the ark. He does it. Why? Because he's a spiritual man. He's a spiritual man. He does what David asked, and he realized David is right. He needs to stay with the ark. The ark should stay in Jerusalem, and so he does that. He's a spiritual man. He's faithful to serve the Lord. And we find in this instance, he's faithful to serve the Lord with or without friends. All right, David, you're going to be gone. We don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm going to stay here and serve the Lord, and we'll see what happens. And David says, boy, when I come back, I'm going to be with you. And Zadok's thinking, me and you hope both. Me and you both. Let's do this thing. Why? He's serving the Lord. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do, and he was doing it. Amen. To the best of his ability. He was trying to stay faithful to the Lord, and in his faithfulness to God, he found a friend in David. Amen. And when things got difficult, David said, listen, I have to go do what I'm going to do. And you have to do what you're going to do. And so let's keep serving the Lord. Let's do what we have to do. And he did it. He knew what God wanted him to do. He figured that part out. And he said, I need to do this and I'm going to do it. He was consistent. He wasn't wavering. Well, I'm not sure. What if I just leave the ark here with some other guys and I'll just go with you and hang out? He said, no, you're one of the priests. You're one of the ones that we rely on. And so do what you're supposed to do. He wasn't wavering. It wasn't even in question. It was just that he was going to go with David, and David said, I don't think we should do that. And Zadok said, it's fine, I'll stay in Jerusalem, and I'll stay by the ark. In Ezekiel chapter 44 and in chapter 48, you know what we find because of Zadok's faithfulness? We find the Lord says this in Ezekiel, the sons of Zadok kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went away from me. He says that about Zadok's sons. He had some boys. Of course, they were also in the priesthood by family. And they come into the priesthood. And you know what the Lord says about them? They stayed with me and stayed faithful with me when all the rest of Israel left. Right. Why? Because that's the kind of guy that their dad was. Right. That was the kind of guy that Zadok was. And he was a friend of David. And he was faithful. And he was consistent. And he was spiritual. And he followed the Lord, whether he had to do it alone or whether he had to do it with a friend. And David saw the value in this type of friend. Amen. He saw the value. Do you have any friends that will serve God with or without you? Do you have some friends? Do you have some people to say, hey, if the Lord takes our paths in different directions, I know they're going to keep serving the Lord. Amen. And I know that I'm going to do my best to keep following the Lord. And we know that about each other. Do you have any friends like that? Boy, it'd be good to get some friends like that. Amen. It'd be good to get some friends like that. You know, also it'd be good to be a friend like that. Amen. Man, it'd be good to be a friend like that. hey, you know what? Boy, it's been great, but life might take us in a different direction, or life might separate us from this thing or this circumstance, but I'm going to serve God no matter what. You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to come into church and see many of you and say, you know what? They had some friendships. They had some relationships in their life, and they're still serving the Lord. So how do I know? Because I'm the new guy, remember? I mean, I don't know when I'll not be able to say that. It's like we're 4 years in, right? But it's, man, you had friendships and relationships with leadership in this church, and they went to do what the Lord wanted them to do, and you're still serving the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That means something. That was one of David's friends, Zadok the priest. Here's another one of David's friends, Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet. Look in 2 Samuel 7. Look in verse 2. 2 Samuel 7, verse 2. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth with curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day. But I have walked in a tent, and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not an house, me an house of cedar? Now therefore, Now, therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own. And move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Nathan and David. David says, boy, I really want to build a house for the Lord. And Nathan says, boy, I see no reason not to. God's with you and God's going to bless you. And Nathan goes his way, and the Lord comes to him and says, Nathan the prophet, here's what I want you to go and tell David the king. You go and tell him that I haven't asked this of anybody. And I've done all these things for David. And I've given him these things. He reminds David of all the blessings that the Lord has given him. He reminds him of all the promises that God had given David, and the Lord had given Israel the promise of taking care of them. He warns about iniquity when he says, hey, if your son goes into iniquity, I'm going to chastise him. I'll bring against him his enemies. And so this isn't a get out of jail free card. I'll go after him if I need to. But his blessing and my hand is going to be upon him. And Nathan goes and tells him all these things. And that's nice. That's nice to be able to tell your friends the good stuff. Listen, hey, God doesn't want you to build him a house. He's blessed you. He's given you promises. And your son that's going to sit on the throne, he's going to build a house for me. And he's going to get that blessing. It's not you, but it's going to be your son. And David had to think, well, if it couldn't be me, who else would I want it to be? Except my son that's going to be on the throne after me. And man, what blessing and what encouragement that must have been for David to say, I'm on the right track, I'm doing the right thing. But that wasn't the only kind of friend Nathan the prophet was. By the time you get to 2 Samuel chapter number 12, David's messed up. David's gotten himself into some sin. And it hasn't been covetousness or a lie or something that you and I kind of want to brush off to the side. No, David ends up taking a woman that's not his and ends up having her husband killed when she gets pregnant. Say, whoa, that's some big news. Yeah, it is. In chapter 12, verse number 7, Nathan says to David, thou art the man. The same guy, same king, that he went and said, man, God's blessings all over you. And when David messes up and when David sins, Nathan comes and he starts to give him this little parable and he tells him this little story, and David gets all irritated about the story. And Nathan comes up and he says, you're the guy in the story. You're the one that sinned. You're the one that messed this up. Look what he says in verse 7. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives under thy bosom. And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Look what he says. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. And thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Amen. Now that's a different scenario. Nathan calls this guy at the end of his life. Why? Because he says, Nathan, my friend, Nathan the prophet, boy, he's been an encouragement to me. And when I messed up, he got in my face and said, you're the guy. Amen. You're the one that messed it up. And let me tell you exactly what you did. You killed that man when you ordered one of your leaders of the army to put him in the front lines of the battle and kind of back off of him a little bit and let him be killed in battle. You're the one that did it. You killed him. His blood's on your hands. This adultery's on your hands. This murder is on your hands. You know what David doesn't do? David doesn't go, well, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. I'm going to do what I want. You're not going to be my friend. Get out of here, Nathan. No, he doesn't. He looks at Nathan and he says, I've sinned against God. Amen. Why? Because Nathan saw the value in a friend like that. Yeah. Nathan saw the value in a friend that would say, stop it. Because occasionally, we don't always do the right thing. Occasionally, with our best intentions, we can make mistakes. Right. Nathan listened to the word of God. He spoke the truth when it wasn't convenient. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Man, people don't want friends like that anymore. People, just tell me how nice I am. Just constantly affirm my every whim. That's the kind of friends people want. Social media ought to block you and get rid of you, and I'll talk about this other person. I'll cut you out of my life. I'll do this other thing. Why? Because you hurt my feelings. Well, let's face it. If we start heading in the wrong direction, we need somebody to hurt our feelings so that we can see it and understand it and get on the right path. I'm not saying surround yourself with people that are always running you down. That's not the point. That's not a friend. A friend is one that will lift you up and tell you when you made a mistake. Amen. That's what a friend is. That's what a biblical friend is. And David said, I value that type of friend. I value a friend that's loyal to God and loyal to the truth and is loyal to tell me what I need to be told. David says at the end of his life, when the kingdom seems to be departing from him and it's not going to Solomon, his son, when things again are in turmoil, he doesn't have the strength, he doesn't have the ability to do anything about this anymore. He says, I need my friends. That's what I need. I need my friends to help carry out God's will because I can't do it anymore. Amen. And he calls his friends, he calls Zadok the priest. He's been faithful to God and faithful to a faithful friend to serve God alone or with David. He calls Nathan the prophet, says, I know this guy. I know Nathan the prophet. If I'm going to be wrong, he's going to call me out. If I'm going to make a mistake and do the wrong thing, and the Lord shows Nathan the prophet that I'm doing the wrong thing, he's going to call me out on it. I want that kind of friend. That's what David said. David saw the value in this kind of friend as well. Do you have friends that'll tell you the truth? Do you want that kind of friend around that'll wound you? Now, I know that we can have these friendships outside, but I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking about friends where someone will wound you if you start straying from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing for the preacher to get up and just start yelling at you, right? Because then everyone collectively can kind of be like, yeah, the preacher, wish he'd stop it. But it's another thing when someone who's not the preacher, who's not supposed to stand up here and yell at you, believe it or not, part of my job, part of the job description, is try to keep you in line. I get you trapped here for a little bit of time, and I say, do right, stop being dumb, follow God, get the sin out of your life. But man, it's when those that aren't the preacher, those that your friends, those your closest friends, when they say, hey man, I don't know if you're doing the right thing here. I wish you'd be in church more. I wish you'd be there to learn and to grow and we could fight the same fights. And, man, I wish we could do this together more. And I wish this thing seems to be a priority taking over your life, that getting in the way of the Lord. When that happens, you know what you know you have? A friend. You have a friend. You have a friend that's willing to say, hey, come on. Let's get back up together. Let's keep going together. Let's serve God together. That's the kind of man that Nathan was. He wasn't just there to say, oh, I love you and anything you ever choose to do. No, that's not a true friend if they know what you're choosing to do is a bad choice. Those are kind of friends that you need to have, you need to find, you need to hold on to them. Friends like Nathan the prophet. And then there's Benaiah the warrior. He's the third friend. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23. Benaiah the warrior. He's not called that. He's always called the son of, to kind of, that's what the Bible does, because they didn't necessarily have last names. So they said, who are you? Benaiah. Yeah, who's your dad? Oh, okay, you're that Benaiah. All right, so you're from that tribe. Okay, you're from this group. All right, we know who you are. So this Benaiah, he is a warrior. In chapter 23, 2 Samuel 23, verse 20, this is the chapter that talks about David's mighty men. Mighty men. 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the hand of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first three. And David set him over his guard. There's first three. There's these three that are mentioned earlier in the chapter. And these are kind of like the guys. These are the mighty men. And Benaiah, he's in that second group. He's just down from there. And Benaiah is a man. The Bible says he kills two lion-like men of Moab. I don't know what kind of men those were like, but it says lion-like. And Benaiah's like, let's do this thing. You know, we'll go after it. He kills an Egyptian with his own spear. He goes to fight an Egyptian. He has a staff. And he says, I'm going to kill this guy. But let's do it fun. And he takes the guy's spear out of his own hand and kills him with his own spear. And the Bible says that he kills a lion in a snowy pit, and it appears to be just because. He's like, oh, there's a lion down there. Huh. Yeah, I'm going to go kill him. He's like, I killed the lion like men. Let me also kill a lion. And the Egyptian with his own spear, yeah, it's just to add insult to injury. Right? It's what he does. He was a warrior. Benaiah was a warrior. Benaiah is a friend that is not afraid to mix it up a little bit. Benaiah is probably the friend that you don't want all your friends to be like, because then you find yourself doing stuff, right? Men like that sometimes, you guys that were in the military, you know, you get some bravado and you get some stuff. And all of a sudden one thing leads to another, or teenagers that, you know, they all get together and, you know, they can together bench press about 100 pounds. And they, you know, they get all tough together, and they're going to make these decisions that are not wise, right? So you don't want all of your friends to be like Benaiah, but it's good to have one around. It's good to have a friend like that around. After Solomon takes over as king, and David talks to Solomon and kind of gives him some final things about some people that have went against the Lord and went against David, he gets Benaiah, and he says, hey, I want you to go kill these guys. And Benaiah says, can do. See you later. And Joab is one of them who backstabs David and goes against God. And Joab runs to the altar because he knows that nothing's supposed to die at the altar. So Joab runs to the altar of God and holds onto the horns. And Benaiah comes back and he's like, well, he's holding onto the horns of the altar. And it's like, well, too bad. Get him anyway. Benaiah's like, no problem. And what's he do? He goes and takes him down. He takes him down for the Lord. He's willing to mix it up a bit in the name of the Lord. Like a preacher, like a large preacher would say during his messages, he'd say, I wanted to slap somebody in Jesus' name. Like that was going to make it okay, you know. I was going to slap them in Jesus' name, you know. Okay, all right. But that was Benaiah. That's the kind of man Benaiah was. You know, for the Lord, I'm not saying to go out there and, you know, mix it up with a fist fight and a brawl. I'm not talking about that. You know, we had a group of people who had just gotten saved before my wife and I moved to New York. And late 20s, early 30s, this group was. And they had kind of led each other to the Lord and had gotten each other into church. And it's a really great story. I mean, it's how it's supposed to be, right? Someone gets saved, what do you go tell your friends? And these three guys that were friends and were now in our church, well, they used to fight all the time. They used to get themselves in situations and they'd fight all the time. And so I'm with one of these men and we're going to pass out tracts at a festival. We're going to pass out tracts and somebody was yelling at him. We stopped to get gas. I'm in the passenger seat. He's driving. And we're going to get gas, and somebody's yelling something at him, and he's like, "What?" You know, he's yelling back, "What are you doing?" And he's yelling. Well, like instantly, this turns not Christian, and instantly, people are out of the car, they're ready to like fight each other, and I'm sitting in the car like, "What's going on right now?" You know. I didn't want to have to get out and make sure everyone was good. I didn't want to have to get involved in the fight. A preacher is not supposed to be one is not supposed to be a brawler, all right? So I was just being scriptural, all right? So I'm in the car, and I'm like, what is going on? And like I'm like, this is about to go down. They're in the street now. Cars are stopped and blocked, both lanes of traffic, and they're about ready it's about ready to go down in the middle of the road. And I'm just like, and all of a sudden my friend's like, I can't do this. And he gets back in the car and kind of goes before anything crazy happens. And he's like, I'm sorry. We're going to pass out tracts. He's like, and I was just about to start punching somebody in the face. You know, he's like, this is not what we should be doing. Say, what was it? He was obviously willing to mix it up a little bit, right in the middle. My point was, though, is, man, once he directed that towards serving the Lord, boy, he was somebody willing to mix it up for the Lord. Say, what do you mean? He was a friend who was willing to go pass out tracts. He was a friend that was willing to knock on someone's door and tell them about the gospel. He was a friend that was ready to go to spiritual battle with, right? To fight the good fight of faith. To be alongside of when you're trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not get in trouble. Not, well, you got my back, right? No, but to go out there and to stand on the street corner and preach with. Someone willing to go out there and say, I'll be right there with you. And if we're going to preach on the street, we'll preach on the street back to back, and we'll serve God shoulder to shoulder. That's the kind of guy Benaiah was. And it's good to have some friends like that. It's good to have some friends that aren't afraid to serve the Lord, aren't afraid to stick their neck out there for the Lord. Because there's going to be a time when you have the fear and you're not ready to go out there and stick your neck out for the Lord. And it's good to have a friend to be like, hey, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. It's good to have a friend like that. It's good to have people in your life every once in a while when you don't feel like doing the right thing, that they're say, hey, I'm going to be here with you and we're going to do the right thing. It's good to have friends like that. It's good to surround yourself with some people that have some willingness to fight, willingness to take a stand for the Lord. It's good to do that. David said, I want this guy around. I want this guy around. You know what these men made David? They made David a better man for God. Amen. You know who I want my friends to be? People that make me a better person for the Lord Jesus Christ. People that are there to strengthen me for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have friends like these? Do you have friends like these? Spiritual, willing to tell you the truth, ready to go to battle for the Lord. Do you have friends like that? What kind of friend are you? Have you thought about that? We get to choose our friends. We get to have them around us. They're the people that we let into our lives, or the ones that we choose to confide in often, seek counsel from often, these kind of friends. But what kind of friend are you to others? You know, the term best friends, whatever. You know what? I try to be a friend. That's what I want to try to be. I'm not always successful. I'm sure of it. But I try to be a friend. I want to be a friend. Like I said, friends are those that prove themselves over time. That's who they are. And a good friend, man, you can't replace a good friend. You can't replace a good friend. Bible says in Proverbs 27 that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Amen. Sharpeneth. What? You make each other better for the Lord. The friends are the ones that call you, and if they sense that you're not doing something for the Lord, they say, hey, I kind of noticed something. What's going on? You all right? You doing okay? You down? You up? What's going on? Where are you? What's happening? And sometimes it's just encouragement. Sometimes it's, hey, let's get back on track. What you doing here? Let me pray with you. What's going on? Got something happening? Can I pray? Let's make sure we're following the Lord. Let's make sure we're not slipping off here. Let's make sure that we're doing the right thing. And it's good to be a friend like that. It's good to be a friend like that. You need to choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Why? Make them count. Make your friends count. And keep going on and serving the Lord and thanking God for the friends that you have. Maybe you need to make some friends It's good to make friends. It's good to. Maybe there's some friends in your life and you realize, man, these friends, boy, they're there, and but maybe they're your friends, but you've surrounded yourself with some people that are taking you away from the Lord instead of closer to the Lord. Maybe you need to question that a little bit and say, all right, how close am I in these relationships with people that aren't concerned about godly things at all? Leave the I have friends for the namesake. Leave that to social media. How many friends do you have? I don't know. Get some friends that count. Get some friends that are a help, and be the friend you should be. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Lord, I thank you for the biblical example of friendships. I thank you what the Word of God has to say about friends. Lord, I'm thankful for some friends that I have in this life that, Lord, have been friends of mine now for many years. And Lord, we might not be in close proximity. We might not get to hang out all the time. We might not get to spend hardly any time together. But Lord, thank you that I know that they're friends. They support me when I try to do right and serve the Lord. They pray for me. Lord, they care about what's going on in my life. Lord, they're there to encourage. They're there to make sure that we're all headed in the right direction and trying to please the Lord. And Lord, thank you for those kind of friends. And Lord, I want to be that kind of friend. I want to be that kind of friend to people that aren't that kind of friend to me. I want to be faithful to you. I want to be able to speak honestly. I want to be able to speak the truth in love. Lord, I want to be someone that's willing to go out there and take a stand for Christ. I want to be that type of friend that's willing to follow the Lord no matter what. And Lord, I pray you'd help me in my relationships and my friendships. And Lord, you'd help those this morning that are here. And Lord, from all different walks and all different places and all different kind of influences, Lord, here this morning, Lord, I pray that their friends are godly friends. And Lord, that they would surround themselves with people that lift them up to serve the Lord and to follow you. And ones that are leading them towards Christ and walking with them in their walk with the Holy Spirit and not drawing them away. And Lord, I pray that you'd put a protection upon these families and these individuals and those that love you. And Lord, help us to be thankful for the influences that are positive in our lives. Lord, just thank you for the message. Thank you for the thoughts from your word. And Lord, we pray that you bless it this morning. You bring us back tonight, Lord, to be able to thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, you bless these this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You are dismissed.